Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. And once again, I am Martin, joined by the king of the casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, tell today's guest, tell everybody who it is. Finally, do something, will ya?
Okay, I'll do my best. We have an exciting new musician. He is the singer and the guitarist for JT Lux. He is JT Lux. How are you, JT?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be on your show.
Well, we're happy to have you on. I mean, super talented. And, you know, so the new song is Waited So Long, which I'm really digging. And then, of course, you have Taken by Moonlight, which is coming out at the end of the week. So, you know, big week for you.
Yeah, and it's coming out April 30th, the debut album. And, you know, we're going to be in Oklahoma when it comes out. We're going to be playing in Oklahoma and Dallas the next 3 days this upcoming weekend. So yeah, we do have a very busy weekend ahead of us.
These are your first live shows in quite a long time, aren't they?
Yeah, well, actually it's one of our first live shows because our band started right before the pandemic hit, and a couple weeks later everything shut down. And you know, we first saw it as a huge bummer because, you know, we couldn't play any shows in front of people. But actually, it was a huge blessing because it allowed us to, you know, sit down and write a lot of songs and work on songwriting and singing and working together as a band. So it really helped us out in the long run.
Besides yourself, tell us about the other two members of the band.
Yeah, so on drums is Zach Cook. He's 20 years old, and he's been playing drums for a while now. He's a killer player and a really good friend of mine. And on bass, we have Ethan Pekka. He's 22. And, you know, they're best friends. They approached me about joining the project when I was a solo artist. And the chemistry between them two was really, really good already. And they had a really good groove together. So adding them was pretty seamless. And it felt like a really smooth transition into what it's become today.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, I really like the harmonies you guys have. It seems like the chemistry between the three of you is really, really strong.
Yeah, we work a lot on the harmonies, and work a lot about on stage presence and just connecting with each song that we play and write, you know?
You know, speaking of stage presence, what, you know, as both the lead guitarist and the vocalist, what's the advantage of that? And what's also kind of maybe a disadvantage?
That's a good question. The advantage of it, I would say, is that I'm very independent. I don't rely on a lot of other people besides myself to drive the tune. But I love it. I love trying to challenge myself and to play and sing at the same time was something that I had really wanted to make stronger. And, you know, I would say the disadvantage is that you got so much going on stage that sometimes it's hard to sit back and enjoy every moment, you know? So, but it's been fun because I had just started singing when we had started the band, and my producer, Frank Tannen, he encouraged me to start singing. I'd never been a singer before. And so I've been singing for a little over a year now. And the transition from being just a guitar player to being a guitar player, singer, songwriter, frontman was definitely a challenge, but I was up for it, and you know, we've worked really hard on it.
So are you?
Go ahead, Brett.
Well, I was just gonna say, are you taking like voice lessons in the meantime as well?
Yeah, so I've started doing some online stuff. A lot of my vocal training has come from just honestly feel and a little bit of YouTube, but I do want to get into like professional lessons to continue to take care of my voice, just as if I was taking care of my fingers, you know, the longevity of it.
We know a good teacher if you need one.
Yeah, please recommend anybody. I'd love to send them my way.
Well, we actually will. Maybe we'll get you in touch after. He's a pretty famous singer himself and does lessons that we know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you mentioned Frank Hammond, and what impresses me about you guys is, I mean, obviously he's well known from Tesla, and you know, huge band, And but you guys are not Tesla liked. You have a completely different sound. That impresses me that he's kind of doing that and looking for the diversity.
Yeah, I would say we're definitely influenced by his music and the music that they created together, but we are definitely interested in other music as well, and I think that it collaborates really well because I'm a huge Beatles fan. I started liking that band in middle school and George Harrison's solo stuff and Pink Floyd and stuff. So a lot of that melodic stuff kind of came naturally to me. And throughout this whole record, a lot of the rock aspects was collaborated with Frank, a lot like in the chorus of the Waited So Long with the stabs and everything. That was all him his idea to make it more rock, So I think the collaboration between us two melodically, really, the end result for this record was a success.
How long did it take you to kind of hammer out, like, Waited So Long, for example, from its original concept to the actual execution that we've heard?
Well, that song in particular was interesting because, I had the verse chord progression in my head for a while, and then all of a sudden, like, the melody and the lyrics all came to me within like 10 or 15 minutes, and I was driving and I heard it all in my head. So I pulled over and sang it into my phone. And then when I got back to wherever I was going, I recorded a little version of it. And then later that night, my band and I got together, we jammed it, and the whole thing came together in like 15 or 20 minutes. So that one was a pretty rare case where things kind of just clicked and everything happened pretty instantly.
How different is Waited So Long from the rest of Taken by Moonlight?
I think the whole record has its own diverse vibe to it, but I think it's uniquely sounds like us and has a certain sound to it. But the song Waited So Long is definitely an easygoing, easy to listen to type of song. And I think that theme is prevalent throughout the rest of the record as well. So I would say that the overall theme is pretty similar, but we do have a lot of diversity from track to track.
How long does it take you to write songs normally? And then what is your process for that?
Oh, that's a good question. When it comes to songwriting, it's really weird because if you force something, it doesn't sound genuine at all. And so the whole process of it can change from song to song. And so with Waited So Long, it pretty much came instantly. But there's another track off the record called Love Is a Drug. And I had the verse melody and chords and all that orchestrated and everything. And then we tried a couple different choruses and it wasn't working. And we had almost put the song to the side for the next record or whatever. We ended up sitting down with Frank and working out the parts to it. And the next day we went into the studio and recorded it in one take. And so that one was really magical for me. And the process of this record was really cool to me because we didn't use a click track, which a lot of bands nowadays use the metronome, but having a drummer like Zach in the band is really cool because he's grooving in the pocket that we didn't really need a metronome for it. And it was an amazing process because it reminds me of all the records back in the 60s and 70s that were recorded, not to a click, where everything would kind of speed up and slow down and you'd have the song would have a lot of life to it,
Are you highly influenced by those bands of the 60s and 70s?
Definitely. I would say The Doors and Pink Floyd, The Beatles, all those 60s and 70s bands. And, even like it goes through the 80s, my parents grew up huge Tesla fans. And so I went to shows as a 9, 10, 11-year-old kid going to see Tesla. So it's kind of funny how it's come full circle.
So what musically, I'm sure Frank has taught you a lot. So let's go into What kind of things has he taught you musically?
Musically, I mean, he's taught a lot about songwriting, and he told me, you know, the most important thing is having great songs that people can sing along to and that they can recognize. I mean, you could shred the guitar, you can play a million notes, but if nobody can remember it, it's not worth it. So he really taught me to songwriting and be more melodic and methodical about what you do and just work hard, dedication. You know, he was the one who influenced me to start singing, and I had left my previous band and I'd never been a singer before. And, I didn't even consider myself to be a singer. I was looking for someone else to fill that role. And then, you know, he told me, just do it, man. Just start, you know, he said, I can hear it in your voice that you have a good tonal quality to your voice. So just sing something and stay in your range, be comfortable and be you, just be uniquely you. And that really carried a lot into this past year in 2020. I really worked on my voice and really crafted it into my own sound.
What about the business? What has he taught you?
The business he taught me is that it's very tough and very cutthroat, and there's a lot of musicians out there trying to do the same exact thing. So once again, he emphasized in the business, ultimately, the best thing you can do is write songs, because forever, you know, as long as time goes on, people are going to remember songs more than just fast noodle guitar licks. So he really encourages, like I said, he encourages the songs, and then he also encourages to just keep your head up and never give up, and understand that you're going to fail and that you need to be able to get back up off your feet when you fail and someone rejects you, because that doesn't mean that it's the end of your career.
You know, it's really cool to see a guy like him mentoring young players. I mean, I'm sure you've also taken a lot about giving back, you know, when you're a huge star, which we're sure you will be, about giving back to people.
Yeah, I mean, paying it forward. Like I was talking to Frank earlier, and he was talking about how Ronnie Montrose mentored him when he was, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old, and how he's given it back to us and mentoring us through all this stuff and passing on the knowledge. So, I mean, you know, yeah, I'd be, if I was ever in a position to do that, I'd love to do that for people, I mean, up and coming as well, because I really do believe in the paying it forward, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really interesting, I think, when you talk about these guys and you talk about these bands and all of the influences. And I love the fact that you're doing these little videos, like the little, you know, 40, 50 second clips. I mean, you do the Beatles, and then you've got like Steve Miller Band and just that kind of thing. Like, what made you choose to start posting some of those?
Well, yeah, we had posted a cover of the Beatles Because, and the whole concept behind that minute long clip was to take something like that song that was such an amazing arrangement and break it down and have our whole band get together and try and recreate it note for note and see and take away from it and learn and try and implement that into our own songwriting, as well as, you know, bettering our singing. And we thought it would be a cool content for people to watch. So we ended up filming it and editing it and putting it out there. And it did really well. People really liked that. So we're going to be doing more of that stuff coming up here soon.
Yeah, I mean, you did a great job for sure, like with the Beatles stuff. It's just like, wow. Especially when you consider that you've only been singing pretty much for a year. That's incredibly amazing.
Hey, I appreciate that so much. I think like I said, the pandemic really accelerated my learning, because I was able to focus on that, on just my voice and my guitar playing and the band itself, rather than trying to focus on playing at a local pub down the street, playing like a 4-hour cover gig. We were able to just sit down and really focus on trying to develop our own sound and try and be unique and stand out. Because like I said, there's so many musicians out there that are trying to do the same thing. So any way we can try and stick out is a positive for us.
You've also
How old were? Oh, please go ahead, Brett.
I was going to say you've also been hanging out with Frank a lot and doing like the videos, and of course you do have the on May 1st and 2nd the guitar show and stuff like that. You know, when how often do you regularly get together with Frank?
Well, actually, it's really often nowadays because we've been preparing for this Dallas Guitar Festival. And what's really cool about this whole thing is my band's going to open up with our own original set, and then we're going to do songs off the new record, the debut record that comes out April 30th. And then when we finish up our set, Frank's going to come up on stage with me, and my band's going to back him on his original set. So it's really cool to be able to have that opportunity to play in front of all these people. And this Dallas Guitar Festival has been had been planned last year, last May, and it just kept getting pushed back because of the pandemic. It went from May to June and September. And then it was going to be, and then it got completely canned for 2020. And so, and they had finally announced it. So it's really cool. It's really surreal that it's actually on the books and we're about to fly out there, you know?
So how old were you when you decided you wanted to make this your profession?
I would say like 11 or 12 years old. I knew that I wanted to be a musician full time. And, it really kind of became serious when I went to this club down the road from my house, and I had seen this band. They were called Vista Kicks, and I was 16 years old. It was back in 2016, and they actually they're a couple group of guys that went to my high school a couple years before me, and I was just blown away, and it made me realize that's what I wanted to do, and the energy and everything that they gave off was just so cool. And so I would say 11 or 12 is when I really got interested in guitar, and then 16 was when I really realized that it was what I wanted to do. And then right before I turned 20, when I started singing, I really kind of took off and realized that this is exactly what I want to do.
So when you're 16, is that when you joined your first band then?
I had been in and out of like little kind of, you know, kid bands from like 11 to 12, 13, 14. And then when I was 13, I started going to these blues jams around town, like Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. I'd take my little amp and my guitar, and my dad would take me to these jams, and I would ask people if I could sit in with them. And so I ended up learning a lot of stuff from people. And when I turned 18, I was able to actually share the stage with Buddy Guy and his band.
Nice.
At the Crest Theater here in Sacramento, and it was a sold out show, and it was really fun. I got to play his guitar, and I got introduced to blues at a very young age. So blues was one of my first influences when it came to like something that really sparked my interest.
That's got to be a super cool way to learn. I mean, I can only imagine, you know, what that would have been like.
Yeah, man, it's been a fun process to do this. And like I said, just being a guitar player my whole life was very intimidating to become a singer, you know, because like I said, I didn't see myself as a singer. But, you know, Frank gave me the confidence. He said, you don't have to be the best singer in the world. You don't have to sing like Freddie Mercury, you know, because nobody sings like him anyways. So He told me to start singing stuff, you know, that's in my register, and I have like a lower tonal voice, and so I started with like Jim Morrison and Frank Sinatra and all the stuff that was in my lower range, and then I've been able to expand my range as this past year has gone on. So,
you know, I think about Jimi Hendrix, and he said, "I don't have a good voice, but I have perfect rhythm for my music." You know?
Yeah. It fits perfect. Yeah. Every time I listen to Hendrix, it's just like, you know, it fits exactly what the message he was trying to get across, because it was him. He was being genuinely himself, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm interested, like, at what point when you're playing guitar, when you were playing guitar, like, as a young guitarist, like, at what point did you kind of feel like you became competent, and then at what point do you feel that you became like, oh, now I'm actually a good guitarist?
It varies, because sometimes, you know, you go through ups and downs, but I think that being on stage and having that experience of being in front of a pressure situation and being able to deliver, like playing hundreds and hundreds of gigs, really kind of like gives you that experience to be able to play through any kind of climate. You know, we just played a show last weekend and it was outside, and it was like 48, 50 degrees, and your hands are frozen. And when you get to that point where it's like you're not in a comfortable situation, it's not like you're sitting in your bedroom where you have the heater on and your fingers are all warmed up. You know, you have to deliver with almost having this crutch. And, you know, so like being able to adapt to situations, I think, was when I realized that, you know, oh, I'm able to adapt to any situation. That's when I realized that, I was able to hold my own against other guitar players, you know.
What was your first show that you ever played like then?
Like first show, like where I had to
live.
Adapt?
You know, well, just first show live, even. I'm sure you had to adapt even on the very first show.
Yeah, well, one of the first shows I ever played was like, and it's actually on YouTube, and I played Let It Be by the Beatles, and it was like I had only been playing guitar for like 2 months, and it's so funny to see, because you could type JT Lux Let It Be and it'll pop right up, and it's about 9-10 years ago, and I was so nervous for that show, and I remember having stage fright a lot growing up, like 11, 12, 13 years old, like being so terrified to just play like Jingle Bell Rock or something like that in front of like 20 people. And so like to be able to adapt, to go from that to playing in front of a couple hundred people, or in the case of being able to play with Buddy Guy, I got to play in front of over 1,000 people. I think you're able to just adapt and learn how to just be calm, you know. And before shows nowadays, I just get excited rather than nervous. I think the jitters come from more of an excitement place.
How supportive were your parents of everything?
Oh, my parents were super supportive. I mean, when I first told them I wanted to learn a guitar, my mom immediately went and got me started in guitar lessons and got me my first guitar, and really supported me all the way through it. And I had a lot of other musician friends my age growing up that didn't get that same support, and they no longer are in a position to be able to do music. And so I feel very grateful to have that opportunity to be able to be supported by so many people that love and support me as well, because without them, I wouldn't even be able to be in this position.
Yeah, it's amazing how much it can take to really like create a career and to get a career off the ground. What other kind of things? I mean, we talk about like often social media and that kind of thing. Like, what kind of things do you guys do to try to get heard and to get yourself into the eye of people?
Yeah, social media is a huge one today. I mean, everyone's on it, and that's, you know, I talked to Frank about this because he grew up in a different era, obviously playing in the 80s and stuff. And it was like, you couldn't just get your music heard anywhere, you know, like you had to be in a big city, or you had to be have connections to like a magazine or a radio station or somewhere to get your ad published or whatever it may be. But nowadays you can just sponsor your post on social media or get a bunch of people to follow you on a certain platform, and you're able to promote your music. So there's pros and cons to it, though, you know, because like with how the internet is today, things get old really quick. You know, people are sick of stuff a week after it comes out, so it's a very different different era. But I think they both have their pros and cons. But yeah, we work a lot on social media and trying to do more live shows, obviously, as they start opening back up. I think that live shows, I didn't realize how much I missed them until you don't have them anymore, you know, because they just once they go away, it's just like you realize you took it for granted for so long. And
is that for playing, or is that also for going to them?
I mean, both. I think the audience really connects you and the audience members have a real connection, and We felt that last weekend we played a show, and it was like one of the first shows that we were able to play, and it was so great. The energy, everyone, it felt like there was a big weight lifted off everyone's shoulders, and it felt like everyone was able to just relax and feel connected to the music.
Is it, do you find people are very receptive of you because, you know, your music isn't out there yet? They're very receptive in these concert settings?
Yeah, I mean, that and as well as, like, the new music video we just put out, people have been really receptive to it, you know. It was really, and it was definitely a little bit of stressful situation going into releasing this music and this music video and this upcoming album, because we had written this whole record and we weren't able to play any of it live. So we spent the whole year playing our songs to a wall, you know, at our rehearsal space. So at a certain point, you can't tell if it's good or bad anymore, you know? So it was really cool to play this last show and get some really good crowd response.
I believe it's, I think it's pretty cool, the video.
Sure.
Did you enjoy making it?
Yeah, that was a really fun process. We worked with a videographer named Brendan Golian, and he's really good at taking exactly what I had in my head and putting it on paper and being able to deliver it, because I wanted to, for our first video, we had to crank it out pretty quick, and I didn't want it to just be a performance video, and so you'll see throughout the video there's different scenes and stuff that we were setting up, and we were able to use our friend's house, Chris La Barbera, and he's a good friend of ours, and he's been helping us out through this past year, and the whole thing, you know, was such a fun process, and I think I'll remember it forever.
You know, I'm watching the video, and I'm looking at you, and I'm going, you know what? That guy's got great hair.
No question. Like,
I got great hair, but you know what? You got great hair, man.
Hey, I appreciate it so much. I guess I got it from my mom.
I love in the video because it's just like, it's you often sitting down and, you know, and then walking, but and then like Ethan's gets to sit down and drink wine with you, and Zach winds up constantly having to be playing the drums through the whole video pretty much.
yeah, there's a scene in there that you were just talking about, the wine scene. We were sitting there, and we had filmed that right as it was like a couple days after I'd turned 21, and we were sitting there drinking the wine, and I thought it would have been funny if it was like just us two for most of the verse, and then I get up, and then all of a sudden the big ass drum set is set up in the dining room.
Yeah, I mean, it did.
I guess he wasn't old enough to drink then, now that you mentioned
it. Yeah, no, he's only 20 right now, so.
Yeah, we're up here in Canada, 18 is you're good to go. Come visit.
Hey, that's pretty cool.
So, if you could tour, then you'd be fine. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Maybe I'll tell Zach to go up there.
That seems a warm,
yeah, tell him to come soon. We don't have very long. We don't have a long summer.
Yeah. Yep.
So then, you know, what are the plans, I guess, for the album as it comes out and doing more videos?
Yeah, so the album is going to be dropping April 30th, and it's going to be on all streaming platforms. We have physical copies on our website, jtlux.com. That's jtlux.com. And we're able to get our music out there and really show people what we got. And, you know, this weekend we're going to be playing in Oklahoma Friday night, Dallas, Texas, Saturday and Sunday. And so we got a couple of great shows coming up here. And then after that, we're going to get home and, you know, work on some more music videos, we got a bunch of more new music that we're going to be working on as well. And just hopefully as shows start opening back up and things start opening back up, we'll be able to get out there and play a lot more and promote this record and just kind of get back to it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a long wait, and so I think it'll be nice for everybody, but also I think there'll just be this real, like, everybody will latch on to everything. So I hope that people take the chance to explore and experience a lot more new music now.
Yeah, new music. There's a lot of new music out there that's really good. I think a lot of people kind of dismiss today's music because they are, you know, they're like, oh, there's no good music anymore. It's all back. It's all in the 70s and 80s, which I think a lot of that is true. You know, there's so much good music back then. But at the same time, there's so many good bands out there today that are making some killer music, like Dirty Honey and Joyous Wolf and Vista Kicks and Tyler Bryant and Nick Perry, Jerry James Nichols. There's so many killer guitar players that are singing and doing their thing. So it's just all underground. You know, it's not as mainstream, so people aren't looking for it.
I consider myself to be pretty tied in, and I only knew about half of those bands you just mentioned. So there you go. I got to go check it out.
Yeah, check them out. Those are some killer blues rock bands.
Oh, we do love our blues rock. There's no question about that. And I mean, that is the basis of so much of the music, especially of the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because I think that, you know, every generation is influenced by the previous generation. And it's crazy because I think about the Beatles a lot, and I think about how many people have been influenced by them. It blows my mind because people can be influenced by people that were influenced by them, you know what I mean, and not even realize it.
Well, yeah, because
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's and I think we've talked about this a few times before. It's like you listen to music and of course you take it in, and it's all a matter of how you bring it back out. But when you listened, like somebody could have listened to the Beatles, and then it's just like, oh, but then you're not listening to the Beatles, you're listening to the person who was influenced by the Beatles, and the next thing you know, you're influenced indirectly by them. So yeah, it's very
funny.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, no, it's like a subconsciously influence or whatever you call it.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much why the Beatles and probably the Ramones are the two bands that influenced everybody.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, and they had their own influences as well, obviously. So, yeah, really, really interesting take on that.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of songs, you know, like even the songs that we wrote on this last record, music is so subjective, but at the same time, you hear, when you're songwriting, you hear a very specific melody, or you hear a very specific part, and then you're searching for it. And I feel like a lot of the times the song is already written, you just have to find it.
Well, and we've heard that a lot too from people that know that it's in their head, and that they kind of hear it directly in their head, and then it's just a matter of kind of transposing it from their head to, you know, onto the recording.
We've also heard people say that they think it's coming from the outside, and they just happen to have the antenna that lets them connect to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I can relate to that sometimes, because it's weird that you'll just all of a sudden get an idea, and then sometimes I wonder where it comes from.
Do you have a huge list of ideas that you still haven't gotten to?
I've got like 1,300 voice memos on my phone of just different words.
That's a yes. Even in a pandemic, you can't get to that many.
Yeah, it'll be like, and then, you know, out of those 1,300, it's like, you know, you just dwindle it down. And I think that when I first started doing songwriting, that's what I struggled with, is I wanted every song to be good. But then I had to realize that you have to write a bunch of bad songs to get to that one good song, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I think the skill may be not so much in writing only good songs. I think it's figuring out from all the songs you've written, which are the best songs.
Yeah, and writing in your range with me starting out just as a guitar player turned singer, I started out with very limited range, and I thought about it, you know, a lot of people like, they're like, oh, I like to sing in the key of B, or I like to sing in the key of A. And I never really thought about it like that. I thought about it like, oh, I like to sing a C note, or I like to sing an F sharp. And it doesn't matter what key I'm in, because over different chords, that note quality has a different quality to it. So it could be a different type of note in that scale, and it would still sound good.
Yeah, it's interesting too because you've got the song "The Eagle" that you did in the dungeon, which definitely has a very like low kind of tone to it, and it almost kind of has a real like Alice in Chains vibe.
Yeah, that was a big Alice in Chains was a big influence on that track, and that was one of the first songs we had written. And I was being influenced and just trying to like find my voice as a singer. So I was listening to a bunch of different artists, and I was trying to find my own in my voice and whatnot. And we had recorded the song, and we thought it would be cool to do a live version of it and with Frank playing guitar on it. And it turned out great. I mean, the whole vibe of everything, and that in the dungeon, that's actually where we rehearse 4 to 5 times a week. So we stay pretty busy.
That's cool.
And at the beginning of that, you also pronounced your name for us, so we didn't call you Lukes by accident.
Yeah, JT Lux. Yep.
Well, yeah, that's the Canadian problem. Actually, when I first looked at it, it's just like, is that Lou? It's easy to.
I think it's originally intended to be Lou because it's French, and
Yep.
but my old family was originally from Massachusetts, and they say everything wrong there, so.
There you go. And
And
well,
so it
so
kind
they're
of
kind of
sucks.
like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty good at that, so. Well,
And that's why I let
JT,
you do the names, Brett.
that's right. That's right. That's my job, figuring out how to pronounce everybody's name. Well, JT, we really appreciate you coming on the show, and we've had a great time talking to you. Once again, we'll give you the chance to tell everybody where to keep up with JT Lux and the band.
Yeah, so you can catch us at jtlux.com. That's JTLOUX.com. And that connects to all our social media. We're mainly on Instagram. That's where you can find a lot of our posts and videos and whatnot. We're going to be doing more videos of those covers and whatnot, and behind the scenes of making the record and everything. So you can check all that out. And we're on Facebook and all that stuff, the YouTube as well. We're going to be posting more music videos and collaboration videos. So stay tuned for all that.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to listen to the album. Really like Waited So Long. That's a super awesome track, and it definitely gets in my head. So mission accomplished. And I know that I urge everybody to go out and have a listen to it because really, really solid stuff. So thank you again, JT.
By the time that this thing is posted, most likely the entire album will be out, so everybody should go check it out for sure.
Sweet, yeah, and you can pre-order a physical CD, or you can go check it out on Spotify under JT Lux, and it'll all be there. Apple Music, all that fun stuff.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Well, thanks, JT. We appreciate it, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks a
All the
lot.
best.